Hi there. This is Richard Alabone with webtalkradio.net, talking this week about sleepwalking, which is something some of us experience when young, but a few people have repeating experiences. My guest today is Lee Hadwin, who has almost become a celebrity on radio, television, and in newspapers purely because he draws in his sleep, which is anything but normal. They are not just ordinary drawings, but sometimes are very artistic and accurate, although Lee has no training or aptitude for drawing during the day. It's all pretty mysterious. Scientists can't really understand it. None of us can explain it. But for some ordinary people, sleepwalking is perfectly normal. So let's talk to Lee Hadwin. Hello, Lee.
Hello, how are you?
Fine. It's nice to talk. It's nice that you agreed to come on my show. My show is about paranormal being normal. I suppose one would say that sleepwalking is paranormal, although I see that between 1 and 15% of the general population are supposed to sleepwalk on occasion, which is quite a lot, really.
Yeah, totally.
In fact, I sleepwalk once, and my son sleepwalk a few times, so it's something I know about. But in your case, it's given you unsolicited fame, I believe.
Yeah, in a certain way, in a positive way, I should say. So yeah, it's been an interesting. It's been an interesting journey so far.
Yeah, and I guess it's more or less a full-time job at the present time.
It is now, over the last few years, since the following of the media and obviously people around the world. So yeah, but it's something really that interests me, obviously. And as you said, there's a lot of people out there that do sleepwalk, and I spend a lot of my time replying to emails at the moment.
Yeah, I suppose people email you when some of these 1 to 15%, I suppose, email you about.
About
their
experience. Well, especially with what they do. Yeah, I was going to say, especially what they get up to. So.
Yeah, well, I'm looking on the internet. One of the articles about you said that nobody else has ever done drawing in their sleep before, but that's not true. I found one fellow in New Zealand who does similar sorts of things, and somebody I knew about, well, have known about for 30 or 40 years, Matthew Manning. He drew very elaborate drawings, you know, on the wall.
Sure.
I don't know if you know of him, but.
Yeah, I've had a lot of emails, obviously, especially, I think, with the gentleman from New Zealand. I've never said that I was unique. It was the Edinburgh Sleep Clinic that labelled me unique through the Sun newspaper at the time. The only thing what they couldn't, in terms of unique, was that I couldn't basically draw in my waking life. And that's what they couldn't understand, was how I can obviously draw during a sleepwalking episode, but not produce that whilst I was obviously in a conscious state, so to speak. And that's what baffled them. But as I said to them, and many documentaries I've done, is, you know, I get emails from around the world. People write poetry in their sleep. A lot of people write music in their sleep, you know. To me, that's a creative. Obviously, you're creating something there. So I don't see the difference between that and in drawing or painting, you know.
No. And because the unconscious mind is, it's just as capable as the conscious mind, you know, and you've learned how to draw unconsciously. That's really what it amounts to.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I believe, and also I believe we've all got a sixth sense as human beings, as the animal kingdom does. Mm. And I just think the way humanity's gone in terms of computers and mobile phones, etc., I think we've lost that sixth sense.
Yeah.
We've still got it, but I think we've lost touch with it, with ourselves. I think we've all got the ability, you know.
And all these sixth sense things come from the unconscious.
you know, like telepathy, it comes from the unconscious, really, although it breaks through into consciousness sometimes. Sure. You know?
I mean, after speaking to one of the scientists on the BBC the other day, like you were saying, I think we are more creative whilst we're asleep than we are in our waking lives, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's about it. But you didn't do well at school, I believe, in art.
No, but my highest grade was a D, and my school reports were unsatisfactory for art. So yeah, it just never interested me, you know, along with other subjects. So it was just one of those things, and that's been the hardest thing to really prove over the last 10, 15 years was my capability of it as an artist during my waking life. It was proving that I couldn't, because obviously there's scientific evidence there that, you know, I sleepwalk, etc. So that wasn't the issue. The issue was trying to prove I couldn't create these pieces of art whilst I was awake.
Mm.
So obviously, I mean, there's been investigations done there now, obviously with my school teachers, school reports, secondary school reports, etc. And even going back to primary school days. So obviously, I've got everything there that backs that up now. So, you know.
Mm. Yeah, and you started off drawing sort of horses and things around on walls around the house, I believe.
Well, I mean, going back to when I first started, 4 or 5, I just used to really scribble stuff. It was like, didn't really make any sense. I just get crayons or anything like that from school. It was in my teenage years, I was around about 15, I started just drawing more intricately. The first things I drew really were the Marilyn Monroes. I did about a set of 3 over a 2 or 3 week period. It went from there, really, the more intricate stuff. It was then when the science world started showing a bit more interest.
Mm.
Whereas before, because it was scribbles, obviously they just put that down to sleepwalking anyway.
Mm.
And I suppose if I hadn't have done the intricate stuff, I suppose they'd still just put that down to normal sleepwalking behaviour, you know?
Mm.
So, yeah, it's been a bit bizarre.
Yeah, of course the Marilyn Monroe pictures intrigued me because they were so like her. I mean, I just looked at one and thought, oh, that's Marilyn Monroe, and everybody's the same. So what occurs to me is, had you sort of looked at pictures of her and had it sort of sunk into your unconscious, do you think? Or was there a picture around that you looked at?
Especially after going to the Edinburgh Sleep Clinic and keeping journals, obviously, of what I've done, to try and pinpoint, i.e. what brings it on, or is there a link with the pictures. All I can put that down to is, obviously, they were done, I mean, I was 15, so they would have been done in the late 80s, and obviously during that period, I think there was a wave or near of the Marilyn Monroe period, you know, coming back through.
Yeah.
That's what I put that down to. I drew American flag a couple of years ago, the colourful the American flag that I drew, but then I was due to fly out. I went to New York 3 weeks after that was drawn, so again, maybe that's in my subconsciousness, but I'm you know, there are things there that, you know, may trigger stuff off or stuff that I'm doing. I mean, it's like the eyes, there's one picture where I've done 2 sets of eyes, and then the BBC had calls saying that they were the eyes of the late Princess Diana. Well, I mean, you know, with someone else with that much fame, then they're probably going to leave an imprint in my mind, you know. But then the stuff that I've drawn of fairies and that, and I've never seen a fairy.
No.
So, you know, you don't know, really.
No. Well, I've looked at some of your things. I mean, the eyes, you know, it didn't strike me that they were female, let alone Princess Diana. But
I personally don't think they are Princess Diana's, and I don't that clear on the BBC that. But then, you know, people just get caught up in the hype of things, you know.
Yeah, but I mean the one of you've done several of fairies, I believe, but they're really artistic, beautiful pictures, really, you know, it's amazing that this could come out of your unconscious, subconscious, but it's possible. I mean, people do these things. I mean, it's some people that sleepwalk, they eat and cook at night, you know, and get in the habit of just getting up and having something to eat and then go back to bed again.
Yeah, I mean, when I did the documentary, I did one about 5-6 years ago, There was four subjects, including myself, and there was a couple from, I think they were from Canada, and the lady, she used to get up in the middle of the night and make herself anything, spaghetti ball or anything, and then would eat that and then go back to bed and not know she's eaten.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So,
yeah.
You know, there's stuff like that. And as yeah. I said, I've had lots of people email me with stories of writing poetry, music, everything, so...
Yeah.
You know.
When I slept walk, which is going back, it was about 1942, I think it was, during the war. It was a terrible time.
Yeah.
And I was in a boarding school, and I woke up in another bed, again, and between the occupier of this little bed and the wall, I was squashed up. Now, how I got there without waking this other fellow up, goodness only knows, you know. I was flabbergasted.
Yes, strange.
And the boys in the, I mean, I was only about 11, and the other boys said, oh, well, it must have been sleepwalking, which it was. And I don't think I ever did again, as far as I know. I never sleptwalked.
In this segment of my show, Lee, I'll talk first about sleepwalking in general, and then your experiences in particular. As I mentioned, sleepwalking is not that uncommon, especially in children up to age 12, while 4% of adults still sleepwalk, and it does tend to run in families. There are triggers, and these are stress, anxiety, or conflict, which was true in my own case, but it only happened once, I think. Of course, I wouldn't really know. In others, it happens repeatedly and may go on till later in life and is normally characterized by a disturbed sleep pattern. They tend to turn over violently in bed and seldom have a good night's sleep. But there is no set pattern about these things. Some may just wander about or move things in the house, referred to as poltergeist activity, and some might send strange emails or even set about cleaning the house. There are cases of people eating in their sleep or even driving a car, but generally they do not come to any harm. On the other hand, people like Lee Hadwin might write something down or write music or draw, as in Lee's case. There have been many studies of parasomnia, which is the name for a whole range of sleep disorders which occur outside of dream sleep or REM sleep. There's loads of science attached to this, giving details of what happens, but they don't know why or what can be done to stop it. It includes extreme restlessness, talking in your sleep, sleep terror, which may involve loud screams or panic, and of course somnambulism, which is the scientific name for sleepwalking. Lee attended a sleep clinic in Edinburgh doing various tests. They didn't say much except that his case is unique, which of course it isn't. There are other cases of sleepwalkers who have made amazing drawings and started off likely by drawing on the wall. But the big question is why? What is different about the sleepwalker? It has been established that it is not to do with dreaming, which is what you might think, as it occurs at various times during the sleep cycle, except during dreaming. Although it is clearly a state of deep trance, which of course is my own special interest in all this. Trance is a distinctly human thing, brought about by the need to suppress consciousness automatically during instinctive behavior. We evolved trance to inhibit conscious thought as we became more and more conscious. which all seems pretty logical to me. So as we sleep, our unconscious brain takes charge, causing a deep trance state, which sometimes can allow parasomnia. In the animal kingdom, there's very little need for trance, so animals don't sleepwalk. Just imagine a sleepwalking elephant, a frightening thought. But fortunately, it doesn't happen. So that's more or less all we know about sleep disorders. Not really very much, except that some people experience these things and some don't. Clearly, trance plays a big part, but scientists haven't yet sorted out what trance really is. So now, coming back to our conversation, Lee.
One thing I wondered about, when you start to sleepwalk, presumably you put a light on and do your drawing, and then you turn the light off again when you finish and get back into bed, do you think?
No, sometimes I put the light on, sometimes I don't. I mean, I've drawn over a friend's walls before now in the bedroom, and that was done in the dark.
Mm.
So, yeah, I suppose it just depends.
Yeah.
And then I can leave my door open. So, yeah, I've done many bizarre things. You know, it's not just, I mean, people concentrate on the app, I can just get up in the middle of the night and start walking around. So, it's, yeah. You know, if I am sleepwalking, it's not just the app, I do generally plan to get up anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know. But, I mean, it's like going back with the paranormal. I mean, I do believe, obviously, in not claiming, and this is not to be taken the wrong way, that this has anything to do with aliens or anything, but I do remember my first having a paranormal experience when I was about 7 at my grandmother's house.
Mm.
And I could sense someone was above me when I was sleeping. And I wanted to open my eyes, but I couldn't. And I remember, you know, cooking foil like you cook with.
Yeah.
Those are the old Kit Kats that used to be wrapped in foil years ago. And it was as if someone was, like someone was crimping that above my head, and then pieces of the foil were falling on my face. And I woke up, like, on the floor the following morning. Now, the sleep clinic say, it's part of sleepwalking where you're paralyzed, but it wasn't that. It was just before I was going to sleep. I wasn't asleep, So it's, there's stuff like that that's happened to me, so.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Whether that has anything to do with it, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, they always say that when people are asleep and haven't been dreaming, they're paralyzed. Well, obviously, that paralyzing, that's the normal for dreaming, but if you sleepwalk, that system goes wrong and you're not paralyzed and you can get up and walk about.
Sure.
And do things, even draw, that's it. Yeah. Very, very fascinating, I find it all. You've had some art critics, I believe, said it wasn't art. I was rather tickled.
I've had many art critics say it's not art because, according to the critics, you have to be in a conscious state to produce a piece of art. So, But that's their opinion, and everyone's entitled to their opinion. But the good thing is I've never claimed to be an artist anyway. So,
it's okay. So you weren't conscious, but it's unconscious art, which is clearly perfectly good. And people have been quite happy to buy some of your pieces. And there's an exhibition, is there, in London?
I'm in the middle, literally this morning. I'm in talks now with a gallery owner here in the West End of London. So obviously I'll keep people posted on developments of that.
Yeah.
I've held off. I was offered galleries 4 or 5 years ago. But, because I'm doing quite a bit for the charity, Missing People and stuff, if I'm going to put on an exhibition, I want it done properly.
Mm.
I just don't want, just going and prepare properly for it, because I want it to be done with taste and not just as a freak, to speak. So it's something I'm looking into serious, and, maybe take that around the world, because I'm doing a lot for the Middle East this next week.
Yeah, that's good.
Maybe,
yes, a touring. A touring exhibition would be nice.
It would be good. So, and it's something different. So. And if I can raise some money for charity on the way, then, it's worth it.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's something which you can sit back and be proud about, if you raise some money and it goes to missing people. Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
And then we'll see what the art critics have to say then.
I was thinking about that. I thought to myself, if the answer to them when they say it's not art, well, the thing to do is to say to them, well, you do better then.
Well, that's it. You do better in your sleep. So
see. Well, I mean, they probably couldn't do so well in the daytime, let alone unconsciously.
Anyway, you got to love the critics. You have to love them.
Yeah, I like that one. Yeah. Now, is it a sort of history in your family? Do you know of sleepwalking?
My mum used to sleepwalk a bit, but nothing out the norm, you know? I mean, she hasn't for years, but growing up, she used to sleepwalk a bit, so maybe I've got that part from my mum, but as I said, it was nothing, just, normal getting up, but I think a lot of children do anyway, don't they?
Oh, yes. Children tend to more, and then people tend to grow out of it, but not necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, look at the research, they normally run out 7 or 8, and, they normally grow out of it by the time they're 11. Mm. 11 or 12, so...
Yeah. Well, I did.
I just haven't grown out of it.
Yes, that's right. And the fact that you've been able to sort of control it to a certain extent mentally, you leave sort of drawing implements and paper about, and then if your unconscious decides to draw or whatever it is that triggers these things, then you do it. And you've just learnt that you've taught yourself that it's a normal thing to do, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I've got an open mind, to whatever people, as I said, hopefully over the next coming weeks, I'm getting offers now of different documentaries and going to different sleep clinics and stuff like that. So, I think with all the, if I can collate all the emails and information I'm receiving, then, that might give some more light on the actual, of A, why I'm doing it and why other people tend to do it as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes, presumably you're happy to accept that it's a normal, a rather special unconscious mind that you have. It's not, I mean, there's been some suggestions that it's communicating with spirits or something, I wondered what you thought about that.
I mean, as I said, I'm open to what interpretation, what other people have. I mean, I'm open to anything really. So it's just it's hard to explain because I'm not conscious, because I'm not of conscious state of what I've drawn, it's hard to describe because people say, don't you go wow? And, I go wow, but because I've got no recollection of drawing the piece, it doesn't affect me in that sense. It's strange watching myself, obviously, on TV and stuff like that. Mm. But I put a piece on my website about 4 years ago on about 11-11, the whole 11-11 phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And that fascinates me more than what my actual drawings, because I'm aware of when I see 11-11. It intrigues me more, and I feel I've got more of a connection with that, because I was seeing that for about 8 or 9 months and didn't know why it was happening, and it was only a friend that suggested to me that I look into numerology, and it was from there that I realized there was a huge phenomenon around the world where thousands of people see 11-11. So a lot of my research has been dedicated to that over the last few years, So I'm actually going to a big forum next week. They've got a big thing on here in London where everyone's meeting up. You see the 11-11 and that, and got speakers, so I'm quite intrigued with that,
Because
there could be a connection with all that.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what unfolds. But no, I find it quite exciting. It just proves that there's more to life than just, getting up and going to your 9-to-5 job, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, I like it, and it's nice that you've been able to, to make a job of it. That's basically what it's just happened that way, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's people think, oh, I've just been in the public eye this last week, but, you know, I've been doing documentaries and stuff like that for the last 10 years, you know, so...
Mm.
It's, you know, it's been quite gradual. It hasn't been sudden, so, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, yeah, I think there's been a lot more world attention on me this last week than I've had previously.
Mm. Yeah.
As I said, if I can raise what I can for charity and help other people out and, you know, well, continue doing my art, then that's all I can really do.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Okay, well, Lee, it's been nice of you to talk to me, tell you about
it's been a pleasure.
Your experiences.
I'll keep you updated on my future events and art exhibitions to come, so to speak.
Yeah. Do you have a website?
Yeah, if people want to have a look, it's just www.leehadwin.co. And it is just .co. A lot of people put .co.uk, but it is just .co, or they can follow me on Facebook. /sleep artist, and that's updated every day. So yeah, and obviously it's good with the Facebook because people leave their comments and their experiences, which is handy for me because then I can indulge with that, and obviously it's quicker for me then to reply. So yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Well, I have to say I haven't looked at your website, and I'll have to look at it. And there's the sleep artist, that's another link, is it? I'll have to...
Yeah, that's just the Facebook, just Facebook / sleep artist.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Okay, Lee, well, thank you very much.
No, it's fine, my pleasure, and you take care anyway, and I'll just follow Facebook and that'll keep you up to date.
Yes, well, I guess there's probably quite a lot of people look on the Facebook and make comments, yeah. Very good.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, then. Bye-bye.
Having wandered about once in my sleep myself, I do feel I can identify with Lee. I assure you, it's a very strange feeling to know you can do complicated things during the night and have absolutely no knowledge of it in the morning. I'm not sure whether it should be called paranormal or normal. But I believe the root cause is our human ability to go into trance, and this idea seems to have escaped the scientists. Doctors will give various pills to try and stop sleepwalking, generally with little effect. The condition just seems to go away by itself in the course of time, but in Lee's case it has continued, making him a bit of a celebrity. People are interested in these things, paranormal, even if they are normal to the person concerned. Lee has been in the public eye for some while and has sold some of his pictures for a good sum of money. When a child, he ran away from home for a while, or in fact for a week. So he is now pleased to give money to a charity for missing people and children, among other charities. So what's it all about? Why do some people do things of which they have absolutely no memory? The answer, of course, is trance. We all go in and out of light trance during the day when we laugh, become emotional, or act instinctively. This we all appreciate, and we all also experience dreaming, which again is trance. But during dreaming we are in deep trance, where conscious thought is completely switched off. Dreaming is all in the unconscious, so it's not too difficult to visualize a situation where in deep sleep and trance our unconscious brain can partially wake us up, where we can see and move about, doing anything we might do during the day, which we call sleepwalking, of course. I can assure you that it's really an unpleasant thought to know that during the night you did things over which you had absolutely no control or even knowledge. But I have to say that I can't think of anything better than to wake up and see a wonderful drawing that you have done during the night. So Perhaps we could say that Lee is lucky, but sleepwalking of any sort is rather unpleasant. We all like to think we are in complete control of our actions at all times, not being aware that even during the day, our conscious actions are sometimes limited by the mechanism of trance. It's an unpleasant thought to realize that tonight you personally might do anything at all, but with no knowledge of what you have been up to. But this is a fine example of what the paranormal is all about. Strange experiences that are difficult to explain, that some people have no alternative but to accept as a rather strange but normal part of life. As I keep saying, paranormal is normal, and this applies to perhaps about 30 or 40 different experiences that people have from time to time. For me, the infuriating thing is that we don't like thinking about these things. We don't talk about them, and science won't accept any of it. But it is an important part of life. We should know about and try and understand them. I've tried personally to help the situation by writing a book, Sublimity, available on Amazon, and I have a website, www.sublimity.org.uk, which I hope you might visit. Thanks again to my sleepwalking guest, Lee Hadwin. I hope you'll listen again next week to me, Richard Allibone, on webtalkradio.net. Bye for now.